What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Dylan Talks Tone, the Just Gonna Say It podcast, on Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. I hope everybody's having a great week. Coffee. I finally got my espresso machine all tuned up and ready to go. Since we moved, I haven't had it sorted out. So, hope everybody's having a good week. I got some notes here, some stuff I want to talk about today, and some stuff in music news that I think is cool, and some things I want to share, and then we'll talk about it, and etc. Of course, we're going to talk about smashing guitars. Apparently that happened at Coachella again. So we'll chat about that. I want to talk about the most Googled guitar riffs. So like how to play, etc. So there's a reason why everybody sounds the same and plays the same old boring crap. Well, I don't know what the reason is, but the result is that. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Audio cutouts. I heard all of you in the last couple of weeks, and I think I had a bad dongle because, you know, MacBook Pro, dongle life. So I think I had a bad dongle. I literally just realized it. That's why I was a couple minutes or a minute late. A minute late getting started this morning. So, all right. In guitar, well, before we get going too, we got a new pickup. Over at Dylan Talks Tone, the Pan American Strat pickup. So that is a Stevie Ray Vaughan style pickup. So you will see that available as a loaded pickguard and not as a loaded pickguard as well. So that's over there. Pretty cool. Takes a little time, extra time to make, but they're pretty neat and they sound great. And I think you'll hear those pickups again tomorrow because I use that guitar in another video that's coming out tomorrow that I cannot tell you about until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning or something. It's an embargo date for a new product, so stay tuned for that. I can't say anything else about that, but that's all finished. The other thing is we got a new t-shirt on the website, and I heard you on that too. So we put some pictures on the back of some of them. We got pictures on the front of some of them. We got pictures on the front and the back of some of them. And the latest one is kind of my throwback ode to the Pal Peralta days skateboarding. So that's what that is. So yeah, so check that out. The other thing I want to mention, I just saw a few minutes before we came on today, is that Paul Reed Smith apparently is releasing the SE Silver Sky in a left-handed guitar. So that's pretty cool. So if you're looking for one of those, I would definitely buy that over a Strat. If you're looking for a good guitar, especially for that price, you know, in that $800 range or whatever. Yeah, man. Super cool. All right. Well, there was some smashing. Is it the Bones Brigade style one? Yeah, it's a skull with a snake coming all around it. And I designed it all up and Leslie was like, "You should have something on the little one in the front." So we put a little one in the front, we put a big one on the back. I think it says Dylan on the sleeve. Yeah, super cool. So it's on the website now. If you have guitar questions too, get them in the chat. And if you use a super chat, we'll drop what we're doing and we'll answer those questions right away. And I have some other really cool news to tell you too, but we'll talk about smashing guitars first. I'm totally for it. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm totally for smashing guitars, and I'll tell you why. I am not responsible for your emotional distress or your emotional problems. Your connection to your guitar is your connection to your guitar. And I, freedom of expression, super important. Freedom of speech, super important. 100% super important. So if somebody feels the need to smash their guitar that they own, I have no problem with it whatsoever. None whatsoever. I think that people get too emotionally attached to someone else doing something, and it's dumb. Let that person be who they're going to be. And you can not like that person if you want. You can not like me for saying that if you want. I don't care. And I know I'm not saying I don't care very much anymore, but I really mean that. If you don't like me because I think it's okay to smash guitar, I just don't care. Freedom of expression is super important. And, you know, if somebody does it because they're trying to make a statement, they're trying to whatever, if it lands good, then it was worth it. If it doesn't land well, then, you know, it wasn't worth it. But you don't know till you know. I think that SRV pickup is a home run for you. Thanks. I appreciate it. I appreciate that a lot. Let's see. Definitely got to grab the t-shirt. Yeah, I need to order it too. I don't have it. Let's see. There's a lot of people against guitar smashing. I'm cool with people smashing not mine guitars. It's a stagecraft, a bit of kabuki. Yeah. Agreed. Just don't smash mine. I don't want you to smash mine. And I'm probably not going to smash one. Right? Like, I don't care. But what I personally decide to do for myself has nothing to do with you. So, you know, I don't know. People trying to tell other people and think other people what other people should do with their lives and their stuff is stupid. Like, just be you. Like, you know, I don't care. I think that it doesn't matter. And especially if, apparently this dude, you know, I don't like bringing politics into music. So I think when they do that at concerts and stuff, it's super annoying. But I think he was doing it for some cause that he believed in. So, like, whatever, the one at Coachella. So, and for those of you that are older than, like, 30, Coachella is a thing that the kids are doing now that used to be cool for and had used to have really awesome bands. And it still does. But most people over the age of 30 don't think those bands are cool anymore. But they are, though. They are cool. So how are you doing today? I still feel like crap, to tell you the honest truth. I still feel like crap. Okay. So let's get into this comment right here, because this annoys me too. Just in case I missed this live session. And again, I'm not speaking against you personally for saying this. I'm just telling you why I disagree, and you can disagree, which is totally cool. I'm totally against it. It's a tool that many cannot afford. Even our beloved Mark Knopfler couldn't afford an electric guitar when he was young. What other people can't afford doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we are not connected like that. It just doesn't matter. My parents tried to use the whole you better eat your food because somebody's starving in Africa thing when I was a kid. And I knew it was bullshit. It just was. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. There's no connection whatsoever. Oh, somebody must have just ordered a shirt. Sweet. Thank you. It has nothing to do with it. Your financial situation and my financial situation and the reasons the things we invest our money in are for two different reasons. We have completely different paths in life. They do converge sometimes. Obviously, somebody just bought a shirt from me. So our paths converge, right? But what I choose to do with my stuff is my stuff, and your stuff is your stuff. And this whole thing that I get it all the time. Like, you know, if we cut something apart to test something, if we cut a pickup in half, or we, you know, smash a guitar open or something to see what's inside or whatever, I constantly, people are in the comments like, you could have given that to a poor kid. No, I couldn't. I will not. No, this is why I don't run a charity here. This is not that. And I do donate to charities, but that's completely separate from my business. And it's not something that I publicly talk about. And it's not so I'm a charitable person. I give a lot. But that's not, has no connection to my job. So I don't connect them. And so I just don't understand why people have to, you know. I don't get it. Oh, let's see. I just think it's played out. I have no real problem with it. Stagecraft is great, but at this point, I think it's like a magician doing the saw a lady in half as his closer. Yeah, but the thing is, sometimes the closer is the thing that the magician is known for. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if the Blue Man Group didn't splash people with gross water, they wouldn't be the Blue Man Group, right? If certain bands didn't stage dive. So you could say, yes, it's played out. I totally get what you're saying. But sometimes that is what that is. Sometimes that, like we say, oh, that's so punk rock, or that's so rock and roll, because it is. You know what I mean? Like, you know, nobody ever said that a ballet dancer, it's like you're standing on your toes again. That's so played out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it is. Like, that's the thing that happens. So if you go to a Bad Brains show and there's some stage diving and some drum set smashing, that's kind of what a Bad Brains show is. You know what I mean? Like, so that's... I get what you're saying, but I think that is still a person making an association with a thing they don't personally like, so they think it's played out. I get why you're saying it, but I think there are certain things that are rock and roll. I think, you know, I don't think, do you think many rock stars are like tearing up hotel rooms and driving limos into pools and stuff anymore? I don't think that's happening very much anymore, but I also think that's because society is so litigious that nobody could get away with it. You know what I mean? So I think there's a lot of rock and rollers out there that if they didn't have handlers to keep them out of jail, they probably still would do that crazy stuff. So I don't know that it'll ever actually be played out. I do get your point. What about when companies smash unsold guitars by driving a tractor over them? That is 100% their prerogative. And that's absolutely, again, no one should have, there's no reason. I'm not going to say no one should have, because I'm not going to tell someone how to feel. I don't want to tell you how to feel. However, there is no point in having an emotional reaction to a company destroying a product that they cannot sell. It's because they can't sell it. What are they going to do with it? You can't give it away. You can't sell it. So what are you going to do with it? You know, as a power sports industry, well, I mean, even with what I do, even now, you know, I throw away stuff all the time. I throw away parts all the time. I throw away pickups all the time. And yes, we get comments and emails all the time. What did you do with those cheap pickups that you took out of that shitty guitar? You know, like you can send them to me. No, I can't. You know why? Because it's not worth my time or anything. And it's not worth it to you because they suck. I threw them away for a reason. They're trash. They are garbage. So, you know, that's just kind of part of it. And it just happens. When I was in the power sports industry, I used to get motorcycles all the time. We would get like pre-production prototypes. So there's one, for example, in particular, I'm thinking of, cause I was on the cover of a magazine with it. It was a Kawasaki KX 252 stroke. We did a big bore kit, max power 285 big bore kit in it. Built it up for Dirt Bike Magazine, but it didn't have a VIN number. You know, it didn't have a serial number. And they're like, you can do whatever you want with it. You can keep it for as long as you want. It doesn't matter, but you can't sell it. You can't give it away. And if you don't want it anymore, tell us, and you got to send it back to us because we're going to shred it, which is what happened. It was a $20,000 motorcycle by the time we put all the junk on it. But, you know, that's just how it works. Super chat. A lot of venues don't allow diving anymore, so it's kind of come full circle where it is the punk rock thing to do again. Side note, get the package. Oh, Sarge, I did get the package. Thank you so much, dude. We're going to talk about it Thursday. Yeah, so, you know. Yeah, I mean, I get, and thank you for the super chat too. Yeah, so there are a lot of people. I understand your emotional attachment to your guitars, but they're not smashing your guitars. They're smashing their guitars. They weren't going to give it to you. That guitar was never going to be yours. It was never going to have a connection to you. You were never going to own it. They were never going to say, oh, you know what? Instead of smashing this guitar, I'm going to give this to this random person who feels strongly about it. They were never going to do that. That guitar was never going to be yours. There's no need for it at all whatsoever. You're like wasting brain cells thinking about this. Like it just doesn't matter. And I wouldn't even care to bring it up except that I know that it happens, and I know that people give me a hard time about it too. Now, Chris Hendricks brings up an interesting one. The $10 million guitar that got smashed, the Martin that got smashed in the Hateful Eight, that was actually not supposed to happen. Like, that wasn't on... They were going to smash a guitar, but it was supposed to be a stage prop, you know? To be fair, most artists that smash their guitars are smashing cheap knockoffs of their guitars they bought to be smashed, if that makes any of y'all feel better. Not the super cheap people. It won't make them feel better because still, some poor kid in Africa doesn't have a guitar. You know what I mean? But I get it. Yeah. A lot of people that really are against smashing guitars. I think it's funny. I think that was Gibson actually owning that meme for making those shitty robot Firebirds when they smashed those guitars. No, that's not what it was. There was actually some issue with that guitar. I think it was something to do with some product liability stuff and some... There was some legal reason why they could not sell those guitars, and so they destroyed them. The only thing they should have done differently is not put it on the internet or not allowed people to be there to put it on the internet. Yeah. It's the ultimate mic drop. It's true, man. Where do we draw the line? Let people smash guitars today, then what? Their bandmates, the audience. I mean, people on people violence is not ever, that's never. You should never be violent to another human being, ever. Never, for any reason. I mean, no. But, I mean, I've done it, and 10 out of 10 would recommend it. It's quite cathartic. You know, Chris, you know what I was just thinking? I was just thinking that all these people that are so against this need to go to one of those smash rooms. I don't know if you've ever been to one. I've never been to one, but I think, I want to say my daughter has. So I think my daughter went to some room. It's one of those, it's like an escape room, but it's not, where you go in there and you like put on gloves and safety glasses so you can't get hurt. And you get to like smash bottles and smash stuff with a hammer and like all this stuff. You just go like to destroy stuff. It's like the purpose of it is to go and destroy stuff. So maybe all of you should that are so against this, you should go smash. What about mutually agreed upon combat in a pit? Yeah, I mean, you know, that's MMA, right? People watch that. The smashing bandmates thing was a joke. No, I know. I know. I don't know. I think it's funny. I smashed a couple guitars. Put one in a pool one time. Tried to play an acoustic guitar underwater. If you ever remember that, we did that in a video. Drug one around behind a truck. We did that. Personally, I find it amusing when a guy tries to smash a guitar, but the guitar is nearly impossible to break. You know, now, that's an interesting thing because here's what I always think about. We baby our guitars so much, and they're just pieces of wood. They are actually a lot stronger than we realize, right? Like, you know, I mean, they just are. Smashing pumpkins is cool. You could smash a pumpkin for sure. Smashing electric guitar sucks. Acoustic guitars smash way more satisfyingly. I agree. I agree. I ran over a Glary with my truck once, and that was pretty fun. Yes. So, you know what we should do? We should, I want to talk about real quick. I'm just looking at the comments. You guys are hilarious. This is great. So apparently there was somebody did some creative Googling. Like you can look at Google searches and they ranked all the songs. So like if you're gonna learn how to play a song, you can say, okay, I want to learn how to play X or Y, you know, plug it into Google, and of course you can figure out how to play it, right? So the number one Googled song, like how to play, because I want to learn how to play this song. Does anybody have any guesses what it is? And don't Google it. You're not allowed to Google it. I'll give you a second. If you try to break a Les Paul in half, it ain't happening. I think we're all missing the point here. What's the most important is the effect that it has on its tone. Super chat from Sarge. Tone glue is some seriously tough stuff. It is. It's totally true. Taylor Swift. Nope, not Taylor Swift. I'll tell you who it was. The number one most Googled how to play this song is Seven Nation Army, White Stripes. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's not weird because it's a great song, but it's very simple. It's a very simple song. Somebody just bought some P90s, apparently. Cool. Thank you very much. Let's see. Next, Stairway to Heaven, obviously. Smoke on the Water, obviously. What's funny about that is those songs are going to kind of like rise and fall. Like, there's probably going to continue to be a rise for a couple more years in those songs while like old people figure out how to Google stuff. And then like once those people die, then not as many people will Google those songs anymore. but Nirvana, Metallica, and Ed Sheeran were all in like the top five. Which is interesting because simple, catchy, riffy, rhythmy songs are what people are Googling to want to learn. I just think that's really cool. And I think, let's see. I'll guarantee that in 2003, the top how to play Google search was the last resort, Papa Roach. Except for, was Google a thing in 2003? Yeah, I guess maybe it was, huh? It's the new Smoke on the Water. That's really funny. I always say that the Oasis song, you know, the Oasis song is the new Freebird, because I hate playing that song because so many people want to hear it all the time. Throw some thumbs up. Yes. Four, four will always move more people than 7-8. It's true. Yeah, you know, it's funny. As much as we... I was thinking about this the other day. I went to a... last weekend, or last week. So I think it's like the fourth Wednesday of every month. We have a local thing here where it's like a... They do three singer-songwriters in the round. So this person will play a song, then this person will play a song, and then that person will play a song, and then they'll go around again, and they do it. Each person plays, so it's nine songs because each person does three, but they do it in the round like that, and then that's the first set. Then there's a break, and then three more people come in. It's really fun. It's a neat thing. Sometimes it super sucks. Sometimes because he doesn't screen anybody when he schedules these people, you can just like apply to his Facebook page or whatever. So sometimes it really sucks. Sometimes it's awesome because the person does really suck, but then like 6 months later, they're amazing because they've been practicing. So it's like, it's really neat. It's like it's not like an open mic night thing because it's much more structured than that. And it's very like listening room. anyway, it was really good this last couple of weeks. I knew a couple of people that were playing in it, and my daughter's a bartender there. So we went, it was really, really cool. The reason I'm bringing this up now with this Googling songs thing is because it's interesting how so many people want to play such complicated stuff, and we talk so much about guitar tone and we do all this stuff. But really, when it really comes down to it, like was mentioned, the 4-4 stuff, just the basic songwriting, like, you know, that your basic 4-chord song is so catchy. And when you listen to these songwriter people, and especially the ones that aren't like super, super good, but even the ones that are very good, what they're playing is actually very simple. And the rhythms that you play in a song and individual guitar parts are usually on a catchy song that is easy to listen to are very simple, right? So like you might have three or four guitar parts and now you've filled out this entire, you know, soundscape of the entire space has been filled out by three or four different guitar parts. But each one of them on the individual is very simple. So, you know, this one person over here might just be doing something on the eighth note. And this other person over here might be doing something on the backbeat. And you know what I mean? They're very simple. Taken together, it's awesome and it's music. But when we think about all the time and effort and work that we put into our guitar tone and all that kind of stuff, and then we start to realize, and you really start to listen to isolated tracks, and you like, if you listen to a record and like truly, really try to zone in on like one guitar part, you'll realize that that guitar player is doing a lot less than the whole thing sounds like. It's just an interesting exercise to do, because now, then when you're looking at your guitar tone, because this, a lot of people will criticize what I do on this channel and how we review stuff. And like when you watch this video tomorrow, very, very simple stuff. And very basic. And I look at things very basically. I don't look at really complex rigs. We'll talk about it tomorrow in the video. We'll talk about it in the video tomorrow, but you know, simpler the better for me. And it's because I look at each individual part separately. And so, especially as like a pickup builder too, I'm like looking at where this guitar fits, where this guitar fits, where this guitar fits, and where this guitar fits. There's four guitars in a song, or four guitar parts in a song. How do they fit in there? So I'm not looking for this big, huge wall of sound. I'm looking for this fits here, this fits here, this fits here, and now it all makes a whole thing. So I sort of look at things a little differently because of how my brain works with what I do. But I also look at guitar tone in general that way, songwriting that way, and the reason I bring this up is because, you know, somebody said Taylor Swift earlier, and I know that some people, especially guitar players, will say those things in jest, like, you know, well, all the kids want to learn Taylor Swift songs, all the kids want to learn Justin Bieber songs. Well, they do, and here's why. Because they're simple. They're easily attainable. In a few hours, they can have a a catchy rhythm that they can play themselves, that they could pass on to their friends, that they could sing with their friends, that they could do whatever. And I think that's what's really cool about it. And I think that's why I brought this whole subject up. It's what I thought of when I saw the art of it. I was like, oh, wow. Like, these are, yeah. Bum, 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 bum. You know, it's like so simple. But you're like, in, you know, and then there's the bass drum in there and your foot's going and the bass is going and you're like, okay. And it like, it just happens by itself, but it's so simple and people want to have that feeling. And so it's that feeling. So when somebody said the 4-4 versus the 7-8, the more complex you get, the more it becomes a exercise in, it becomes more of an intellectual exercise than like a soulful exercise, right? Like, you're moved in a different way when you listen to something that is more complicated sonically, but you move more naturally in something that's more simple and rhythmic, right? It's just interesting, different perspectives of it. Simple is more memorable. Well, it's easier to remember, right? Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. The more you record, the more you realize that you don't want a bunch of busy stuff. Yes, simple when recording. Making sure that each individual instrument resides in its own sonic space. Louder is not louder. It's where you are in the sonic space is louder. So you could be louder than another person, but if they're sharing the same sonic space as you, you're still not going to be heard, right? Yeah, super important. The real guitarist dilemma is, do you want to get popular or do you want to really learn how to play guitar? You can't do both. I 100% disagree with you. The desire to be popular has nothing to do with the fact that you will be or will not be. Unskilled people can become popular, but just because you're skilled or just because you want to be popular doesn't mean you're going to be. I think that the thing is that you have to focus on what you want to do. And you can't look at it like, you have to focus on what you want, and then you have to find the audience that wants the same thing that you want. That's all it is. There's enough people in the world where everybody could be famous. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But there's enough people on the planet Earth that every person can be famous. Because all you need to do is have, is it a Tim Ferriss thing? He says that if you have 1,000 people in your orbit that will do whatever, you know, if you come out with a product, they'll buy it, they'll support you, they'll support what you do, then you'll never starve. So it only takes 1,000 people. I would say I'm at about 200. Okay. Constantly growing that. Well, there's enough people in the world and there's enough cross networking in the world where every person could have 1,000 people. So every person could be famous. It's just finding the audience for the thing that you like to do. So don't worry about other people. Worry about you first. Worry about what you want to do. Worry about how you want to sound and what your guitar playing wants to sound like, and then get in front of the people that like what that is. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you're trying to be famous, it doesn't mean that you can't be a good guitar player or vice versa. That's dumb. Oh, super chat. Sorry. One of the things I struggle with in tone chasing is knowing I don't own a Neve console, so I'm never going to find what I'm looking for. You know, Sarge, that is really a key point. Thank you for the super chat. That is a really a key point. I think that one of the things we don't think about is the sound that we hear is not the sound that they played. Ever. Hardly ever. There are some live recordings that are close, but the sound that you hear on a record 99.9% of the time is not the sound that they heard in the room when they played it. So you're not going to sound like whoever, mostly because you're not as good as them. But secondly, you're going for the wrong tone. Isn't that funny? Like, it's we're all doing it. We're like trying to sound a certain way, but we're not. Yeah, you know what's funny about this? I'll tell you a story about this. So, popularity is overrated only to people that aren't popular. You know, I'll tell you a story about this. So, Tin Pan Alley is my favorite Stevie Ray song. I'm a huge Stevie Ray fan. And so, when I first came out, I need to do the video on this guitar because I still have it. My very first set of pickups that I ever made, okay? Are in my Strat. I still have them. Those pickups are. I need to do a video because it's like the evolution of all this stuff, right? So I need to do a video about this. Very first pickups I ever made till now, you know, 10 or 11 years later. And I wanted the Tin Pan Alley sound, right? So I'm like, I'm going for the Tin Pan Alley sound. I'm going for the Tin Pan Alley sound. That's what I want. Those aren't even Strat pickups. Well, I didn't know that. Like, all growing up, for some reason, I had it in my head. Obviously, it's a Strat because it's Stevie Ray Vaughan. They weren't Strat pickups. They were lipstick pickups. But I have these Strat pickups that sound just like that. I mean, you know, in my head. completely going for the wrong sound. So funny. So funny. Guitar tone is subjective. Why do people always say that? Okay. That's objectively a dumb comment. Do not smash guitar tone. I agree. Let's see. Mike Jones doesn't like the fact that I just said that. Here's the thing, okay? People want to jump in the comments section all the time and be like, well, guitar tone is subjective. That is a defensive comment because you don't want to have a conversation about real things. That's what that is. That's all that is. We're having fun here. So we're just having fun talking about guitar, ribbing each other about funny stuff, whatever. Having a conversation. We're all friends. We're having a conversation talking about guitar tone. There's always some dork who comes in there and he's like, yeah, well, the thing is, what really happens, and nerds it all up, makes it all about them, basically, and like sucks all the fun out of it. And that's what guitar tone is subjective is. It's a comment that just sucks all of the tone. out of the conversation. And I don't say that to be mean to anybody. I don't say that, but you know already in this podcast, I'm going to say what's on my mind because I do not, it annoys me when people suck the tone out of, I'm going to start saying that actually, out of the fun. They suck the fun out of the thing. And that's what we're here for. Yeah, it's about having fun. That's what it is. Nerds ruin everything. Yeah, lipsticks. It's a white Strat with lipstick pickups in it. You know what's funny too? I know that this is all my fault. I mean, I take 100% responsibility for the nerds in the comment section. I take 100% responsibility for it. I tell Leslie this all the time. I'm like, the mistake I made in the beginning 10 years ago when I made this YouTube channel was to make it so nerdy. But it's because I wanted to make it, I wanted to take the subjectivity out of it. And I believe we have for the most part. you know, so that's the other reason why I don't like tone as subjective, because it's not. Now what you like, obviously that's up to you. That's totally subjective, but how it's made is not. It's science. It's very simple. What's interesting is the guitar is, and I've said this before, you've heard me say it before, you know, if this phone that I've got in my pocket or wherever it is a smartphone, and we can talk to people in space with this, right? Like, this is pretty cool. This is a smartphone. The guitar is the dumbest thing ever, right? The guitar has a couple of coils, a couple of magnets, a couple of capacitors, and a couple of resistors. It's the dumbest thing there is. It's like almost the most basic circuit known to man, a guitar. So, and the physics that make it work are, I'm sorry about that, are actually very simple. What complicates it, there's two things that complicate, there's two things that complicate guitar tone. One is, the misunderstanding of the difference between an acoustic guitar and an electric guitar. That's number one. Because an acoustic guitar makes sound a completely different way than an electric guitar. And so when people conflate the two because they look similar, even though the science is totally different, the science is night and day different between an acoustic guitar and an electric guitar. Because an acoustic guitar is a percussive instrument. It's a drum. It moves air. An electric guitar is an electrical transducer. It takes kinetic energy and it converts it to electricity. It's an electric motor. Okay? Basically, backwards. And so that's number one. People very much misunderstand and conflate the difference between they conflate the difference between the two. Okay, so they just mix them together. That's number one. Number two, the thing that ruins guitar land is the religious devotion, and I'm going to call it religious because that's what it is, to whatever belief results from the misunderstanding of the science. So when people misunderstand the science between an acoustic guitar and an electric guitar, they conflate those two things, then they form a belief based on that misunderstanding, then they stick to that belief, then they get in comment sections and say stupid crap. And that's what makes guitar tone dumb. That's what sucks the that's what sucks the fun out of guitars. And so when I was doing this in the very beginning, my goal was, well, let's just stick to the science. It'll be easy. The problem is that you have to be right when you do that. And nobody can be right 100% of the time. And if you strive to be right, and I don't mean right as in like, I don't mean right. Right is, I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to be right and you're wrong. I want to be correct when I say something like, you know, this is a capacitor, you know. No, it's not. It's a resistor. No, I looked it up. It's a capacitor. You know what I mean? Like, to be as accurate as possible, I guess. But then there's always an argument to that. And there's always a, no, this other guy on this other forum told me this other thing. And I have an uncle who tried it and it's not true and blah, blah, you know, all those kinds of things. And so those are what really kind of sucked the fun out of it for me. So then I'm like, in the last year or so, I'm like, you know, no, man. We're going to talk about smashing guitars. We're going to talk about playing loud. We're going to talk about stuff that's fun and being creative. And even when we make pickups every day, don't buy my pickups because they're technically something. Buy them because you like the way they sound. Buy them because you like the content that we make. Buy them because of emotional connection to whatever. Like, that's why I want you to buy my stuff. Because it's good. It's really good. And it will make you feel good when you play. That's why I want you to buy it. Like, I want you to buy my stuff and watch my content and do all the things, not because we're some kind of science-y guitar nerd fest around here, but because it's fun. And because, you know, you get a chuckle out of it sometimes. And you get the white box that has been, you know, packaged very, we make sure that nobody knows what's in there, and you get the white box and you cut it open and you go, oh wow, this is super cool. This was made by hand. And then you put it in the guitar and, you slam that first A chord and you're like, damn, this is cool. That's what I want. That's why I want you to buy my stuff. That's why I want you to watch my YouTube channel. That's it. That's all. That's all I care. Super important. No joke. Has anyone had the moment when they plug in and everything sounds amazing? So I can't talk about this exactly because it's an embargoed product. It comes out tomorrow. But you will see in the video tomorrow When I slam a cord, I didn't even know I did it until I was editing the video, but I slammed the cord and I went, like, I had that feeling, like, you're like, dang, this sounds good. that's what it's all about right there. that's what it's all about. You know, I remember when I was in the power sports industry, I remember, you know, we got these products and they make people go faster, right? Or they make people think they're faster. They did. They were technically very good products, you know, little $80 bits and bobs you'd stick on your exhaust and make your bike faster or whatever. But I remember, and I still live by this, right? I remember specifically one time a dad called me on like a Thursday and he's like, my kid, he's in this race this weekend and I need something. He's got to be like a little bit faster. And, what do you got? Like, I need this torque, blah, blah. He went through all this nerdy stuff that I knew didn't really matter. And I was like, well, buy this thing. It'll give you some more torque. It'll give you a little more mid-range to take this stumble out of the throttle, blah, blah, blah. It's $80. Can you next day air it to me? Sure, I can next day air it to you. So $30 or whatever to next day air it to him. So I next day air it to him. He gets it Friday. Friday night, he puts it on his bike. What in the heck? He calls me on Monday. And he's like, dude, my kid was so much faster. He was like, he won his class. It was the coolest thing ever. He was like so stoked. Now, I know that I made his bike run better. And I know that I took the stumble out of the throttle. And I know that what my product did. But I know also that my $80 part was not the thing that was responsible for him winning that race. It was a whole bunch of things. And so, but just getting that phone call and being a part of that guy smiling and making that guy's weekend, like, that's why I make pickups. That's why I do all of this stuff. And so thinking about that, and having that be the driving force about why we should talk about Guitar Tone all the time is the reason. Like, I just think it's really important. You know what we should do? You know what we should do? We should do a Guitar Tone Wood smashing video. That's a great idea. A Guitar Tone Wood smashing video. I don't want to give up all my ideas though. Let's see. Yeah, go back to doing taxes, nerd. Us cool guys are talking about potentiometers, values, capacitors, and tone wood. That's awesome. I love it. Guitar tone is based on facts, but it's art, isn't it? No. That's okay. That is a great comment. All art is art. Music is art. Drawing is art. Writing is art. Okay. But physics allow art to happen. If you didn't have physics, art wouldn't happen. I got a fountain pen right here. Okay. The surface tension of the ink as it comes out of the nib across the feed right here, and it goes down to the very tipping material on this nib. If this is like minutely off, if the tines are misaligned, tiny, tiny bit that you have to look at with a 20 times loop, this pen will not write. No art will happen. If the capillary action and surface tension and all those physics are not in place, this pen will not write and no art will happen. So physics has to be there in order for all this stuff to work. The science has to work. Otherwise, you're not going to make any art. At least not with the tools that you were given. Music is auditory math. Yeah, I suppose if you're listening, especially to like Dream Theater or something, especially, right? I still don't understand how anybody can tell anything by tone tapping. I would understand better if you hold a tuning fork to the wood to see. So tone tapping is BS. It 100% is. Here's the reason why. The resonant frequency of a piece of wood is so low that you can't hear it, okay? So you're not actually doing anything when you tone tap a piece of wood, because there's no resonance to it. It does not resonate. Resonance is one of the most misused words in guitar tone. Resonance happens when one thing is vibrating at a particular frequency and it causes another thing to, it excites another thing to motion at the same frequency. That is actually what resonance is. If you feel bass in your car, that is not resonance. That's just vibration. Okay. Which is what you're doing with a guitar. When you strike the strings on the guitar and you feel the body of the guitar shake, that's not resonance. That's vibration. That's just sympathetic vibration going through the body of the guitar. That's all that is. It's not resonance. Resonance is where the opera singer sings a note and breaks the glass. That's resonance. But that's not the same. Yeah, that's not the same. Tone tapping is not BS. Acoustic makers use the technique all the time to tune to the top of their guitars. Here we go, Stratman Jerry, conflating acoustic guitars and electric guitars again. We just talked about this. Acoustic guitars and electric guitars are not the same. When you make an acoustic instrument, the reason they tap on a top to tune it is because they're trying to make that top vibrate so that it can move air. The top of an acoustic instrument is a drum head. That's all it is. It is a drum head. An electric guitar is not. It is not the same. This is exactly what we're just talking about. I mean, maybe you got here late. I don't know. But if you didn't get here late, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Electric guitars and acoustic guitars are not the same. They do not use the same physics. They do not use the same science. Well, it looks like we got 69 people watching and 41 thumbs up. So thank you. What, in your opinion, makes a guitar sound great? I mean, pickups. Well, okay, there's two things. Having a mechanically sound guitar is important. So, when we strike the string on an electric guitar, what we want, well, this is with anything. all energy, all kinetic energy is in a state of change of energy. Okay. So, like in an engine, you know, you're dealing with heat, you're dealing with, so on a guitar, we're dealing with, basically with friction. On a guitar, you're dealing with friction. So when you strike the string, you have the resistance of the string against the pick. You have the friction, even when your fingers are not moving, because the transverse wave that you have now introduced into the string is actually stretching and shrinking and stretching and shrinking that string very, very tiny little bit. So when your finger is on there, you've got the finger friction, even if it's not moving. If you're just holding it in one place, there's actually friction happening there, okay? So you've got that. You've got the friction across the fret that's happening the same way. And then, of course, just the motion of the string coming to rest, back to rest. So anything that takes away from that energy, so nut health, saddle health, string health, fret health. When I say health, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be good, right? So mechanical, and then any extraneous vibrations in the guitar that shouldn't be there. So loose parts, you're going to get more sustain if the body vibrates less. I know that people, that's, again, it's physics. It's not my problem. Talk to somebody else about physics. It's not my problem. If the guitar vibrates a lot in your lap, it's going to sustain less than if it doesn't. What we're trying to do is keep as much energy between the nut and the saddles as possible for as long as possible and as accurately as possible, so that when I strike the string does what I want it to do for as long as I want it to do it. So that's number one thing, the mechanical health of the guitar. Number two, the ability for the pickups and the electrics in the guitar to convert the motion of that string within that magnetic field to electricity as accurately as possible without loss. So without capacitive loss, without too much resistance in the circuit, and with the correct amount of inductance in the coil to get it to the resonant peak that you want it to be, and you can tune that, okay? So those two things I think are really important. So the resonant peak of the circuit, and that includes the pots, the cap, and the pickups, and where you want that and how wide you want the Q to be and all that kind of stuff, and the mechanical health of the guitar. Those are the two things that matter the most. You can argue all you want about what it's made out of, all that kind of stuff, but simply the science of it is that by percentages, none of that stuff matters as much as anybody thinks it does. Nut health is very important. 100%. I actually had to shave a nut this morning. It was popping out of the slot. If we just want to keep going with those stupid analogies. But my resonant solid body. Oh my gosh, this is great. I mean, you can disagree with me all you want, but the science is science, man. It's you know, that's the thing. It's not, and what I always say, you know, especially about the wood thing is, if it matters to you, then let it matter to you. It doesn't matter what I say. But if you come to me and you order one of my strats and you say, I want it out of some wacko wood that I don't, well, then don't buy it from me. Because I don't care. I'll make it out of concrete and it'll still sound good, I promise. (Clears throat) color has a measurable frequency. You know, this is another thing that happens. So we take the science thing a little bit further. And then I got to go, actually. I'm over time. Take the science thing a little bit further, right? Don't forget that just because there is science that applies somewhere else means that it applies in a guitar. So like the whole color frequency thing, that's outside of guitar. The people that say, well, these capacitors are amazing in my hi-fi unit, you know, and then they like push up their glasses. yeah, but it's not the same technology. Guitars are dumb. You need smarter capacitors for smarter stuff. Guitars are dumb. They're the dumbest, most simple circuit there is. So you don't need to worry about it. You guys, this has been fun. Thanks for hanging out. I am out of here. Please. Here, hang on. Before you go, let me see what time this video is going live tomorrow. Eastern time. Shoot. It doesn't tell me. Anyway, tomorrow morning, I think 10 o'clock, something like that. We got a new video coming out tomorrow morning that I hope y'all dig. It's going to be super cool. New product. You've never even seen it before. It's awesome. You're going to want one. We'll see you tomorrow.